DeCesare Group Podcast. Welcome back. I'm your host, Jim DeCesare, and I'm glad you're here. You know, every other week we drop a brand new podcast highlighting the people impacting business and economic development activity in South Central Kentucky. We also have a popular companion newsletter, Soakey Economic Development and Business News, that comes out every week. So go to our website, thedecesaregroup.com, and sign up to have the newsletter come straight to your email every Monday morning. And if you like the podcast, please tell your friends. You can subscribe to the DeCesare Group Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple, Spotify, and even YouTube. You know, we're getting very close to our 100th episode, and today we're excited to bring you episode 98 of the DeCesare Group Podcast. Jeff Fields is the founder and CEO of Cheetah Clean Auto Wash, one of the fastest growing privately held car wash platforms in Kentucky, Tennessee, and the Mid-South area. Jeff talks about how he took a small automotive detailing operation in Bowling Green and transformed it into Cheetah Clean, a multi-market, multi-brand operating system with category-leading customer experience standards, a powerful membership tool, and a vision to scale to 50-plus stores through real estate-driven expansion and strategic capital partnerships. Here's my conversation with Jeff Fields. Jeff, welcome to the DeCesare Group Podcast.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate you having me.
I know you're a longtime listener, first-time caller, and we're excited to have you here.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we're here to talk about Cheetah Clean Auto Wash, and let's talk about this because you are literally a third-generation car wash guy. Grew up in the business. Tell us about your history.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I guess back in the 1940s, Gillen Fields, which is my great-grandfather, moved from Columbia, Kentucky, Adair County, to Bowling Green, and he and his wife, and they had two children, one of which was my grandfather, Glenn, and got into laundromat and dry cleaning business, and he went out on his own. He started Fields Laundry back then, got into dry cleaning, started Fields Cleaners in like the 40s, late 40s, and then my grandfather, he went away, went to World War II, fought in Okinawa, all that, came back. And then in the 60s, his wife, Mary Alicia, my grandmother, they had eight kids. And good old Catholic family.
Yeah.
And they started Gas and Wash in the 60s on Broadway. And my dad.
What was it called?
Gas and Wash.
See, well, you get gasoline and a car wash,
you get a gas. You know, it's funny, like the modern express wash, you know, you ride through, you know, when it came back in the early 2000s, you know, dad was like, oh, we've already done this before. This is how we were washing cars in the 60s. You know, the customer would ride through, and we had the free vacuum then. But they got into the car wash, and you know, serial entrepreneurs, Pops, we call him, Glenn, my grandfather, and then my dad, you know, had done a little bit of everything, but car wash had always been one of those just great businesses that we got into distribution, we got into equipment, fabrication, installation. Dad, really.
And dad's who we call Big Jeff.
Big Jeff, yeah. And he can fix anything. And just really good with his hands, and obviously very smart, as well, and good businessman, and grew up around the table with them. You know, a lot of entrepreneurial stories and, just upbringing, you know, I was always taught you could do anything, you know, you put your mind to.
Sure.
And so that was the gift that I got, from my family, is that, you know, through work and, determination, there's nothing you can't overcome. And you know, so went to college, banged around a little bit, went to Arizona, and out there, you know, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do, and I'd called my dad. I was working in the five-star hospitality industry. And you know, he said, hey, you know, I was asking him for some rent money or something. You know, he was like, why don't you come back to work, you know? And I was like, what's up? And he said, you know, there's a competitor coming to town. And he's like, I need you to help me. And I was like, oh, you know, let's go. So I flew back in, and, you know, dad, you know, calling you home was exciting for me, and just went all in, you know, got plugged in to the associations and all of that, and networked, and just became a real student, to the point where I was annoying, you know, my father, he was like, could we talk about something else other than car wash? I was like, no.
That's it.
And so just really immersed myself in it. And, you know, dad, you know, I grew up in it, you know, in the traditional full service, which back then, you know, you don't see them like we used to do it anymore. It's just kind of an archaic model.
Yeah.
But it was a rough business, you know, and grew up out there. And I remember, you know, working with Russ Booth and dad, you know, how to clean a window, you know, how to vacuum a car. And, you know, dad and pops too, they actually competed with each other. Ironically, like there's been no real, you know, hand-me-down heirloom business. Like, you know, GH competed with Glenn competed with Jeff, and Jeffrey competed with Big Jeff. And so, you know, it's been interesting in those regards, because, you know, each one of our businesses have kind of been fresh and innovative, you know, and we've kind of, you know, all had to kind of go do our own thing, which has been good for us, you know, individuals. But, you know, it's led to, you know, what, you know, Cheetah Clean is today. I left dad's business and I went out and I started a hand wash detailing business.
I remember that.
Hobby Lobby.
Yeah, next to Hobby Lobby.
Hobby Lobby.
Little garage section that's off on the right side of the building.
And I was like, I'm going to, you know, take over the world, you know, hand washing cars. And I'm like, wow, it was really hard. And I remember, like, 1 month we did like $20,000, and, you know, I think our record month was like 25, and it was like, you know, I really saw the value of the machinery and the conveyor and all that, you know. And
there's got to be an easier way.
My goodness, it was so hard. But, you know, kind of cut my teeth, and I ended up, Kenny Neely and Lewis Berman had a 5.5-acre track over there off of Campbell Lane, where Christian Care, Family Video, and all that. And I just had a vision. I was like, man, I'm going to put a car wash there. And Kenny was like, I'll help you. And he had the broker. He was representing the property.
Yeah.
So I went and met with Lewis, and I said, you know, I'm going to put a car wash on this property. And he was like, okay. And you know, it was $1.4 million, had like $5,000 to put up on an option.
Right.
And they were like, okay. And my dad had done some commercial development, so I'd kind of saw and heard a little bit about it. And I was like, I can do that. And it was just kind of fate. Put it under contract. The next day, there was another couple people that were trying to get Lewis to break it up and buy like little bits. And they were like, you know, they called, you know, Lewis and Kenny the next day, and they're like, you're not dealing with me anymore. You're dealing with this little 25-year-old guy named Jeff Fields. And so they came and met me, and they were like, what is this guy doing? And it was just, it was all about a vision, having faith that I could do it, and just sticking to it, you know, and partner with Jeff Arnold.
Yeah.
And then the city came, wanted to put a road through it, traffic light. And I'm sitting here, I didn't even have to buy it, you know, and already had Family Video and Rexel, had them under contract. So it was a pretty, like, easy layup for anybody, right?
Right.
But I was going around, like, shopping the deal. I remember I talked to, like, Chuck Lane, Jim Martins, was taking around to everybody, like, who could help me take this down? Because I had to get the money to sell it, right? And, you know, all the closing and all that. So, and I was running out of time, and I'll never forget, I came up on the deadline, and I came in, I had a little, you know, prospectus, threw it on the desk, and Barbara Reed was doing my books, and I said, man, I'm going to lose this deal. And she was like, I might be interested in that. And I was like, excuse me? Yeah. You know, I was like, what? And so, and then, you know, long story short, Barb and I partnered, and we were going to build a car wash on that track. But dad had since...
I was going to say, there's no car wash there.
There's no car wash there now. Yeah. There was one in the mine, but but what ended up happening, dad had since, in that time period, he had sold his wash to Regal. And community might remember that.
Yep.
That was a fast decline.
And what was the name of that wash he sold?
Tender Touch.
I was going to say, it was Tender Touch. Yeah.
Tender Touch. And you know, so he had sold. And they thought he was helping me. And they were like, your son's going to build. And, you know, so he comes to me. And we had that year was a lonely Christmas for the Fields family. you know, because we were competing with each other. I was going to build and he was trying to sell, and there was, you know, it was a lot of odds at that Christmas. But the funny thing is, Dad came to me and said, "Okay, son, I respect what you're doing. Congratulations. You've proven a point here, but Regal's going to sue me if you build this thing. They think I'm helping you." And he was like, "I've got a piece of property in Owensboro." And, you know, I was like, "Oh, yeah, I can go to Owensboro. I'll have this property. I'll come back to Bowling Green." I'm like, multi-unit, you know, from the gate, which, again, at that point in time was kind of, you know, a big vision.
And serendipitous at the same time. But we'll get to that later.
Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of that. But, you know, so we transferred the whole deal to Owensboro. And so we built – that was 07. And, you know, Barbara was a little later in life and had unfortunately lost her husband. And, you know, we did well. We did well. And then she, you know, got a boyfriend, you know, and he started getting involved a little bit. And I was a little, you know, headstrong and said, "Hey," you know, and they said, "Well," I didn't have a really good deal. You know, I learned early, like, ooh, that was not a good contract deal.
You learn through your trial and error.
And you know, my dad taught me my first business lesson when I created the detail shop when it was at Tender Touch. It's a funny story. I had hired some guys out of Warren County Jail. And have I told you about this story?
No, but it sounds funny already.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. So I said, "Hey, guys, we hired them out of the jail. They were great workers." And I was like, "This is 50, and we agreed it was going to give me 50%. So I said, "Okay, great." So first month we did like $30,000. And Dad was like, and I was like, "Okay," my math was like, we made 15,000. And I was like, "Okay, Dad, you know,
$7,500.
And he was like, he laughed. He said, "Here's your first lesson in business. Get it in writing, you know?" And I was like, "Excuse me?" He said, Yeah, get out of here. Get back to work. You have nothing." And, you know, there was no agreement. I was like, "Oh, wow." And then so I went back and I told those guys I was going to give them 10% of mine. And I go back and I tell them, I go, "Guys," they're like, "Where's our money?" I'm like, "Dad's not going to pay." He laughed and said, "You know, you don't have a contract. You don't have anything." And they say, well, the kind of the ringleader, he said, "Hey, you see that long-haired guy over there? That's Daryl." I said, "Okay." He said, "Daryl went to prison for a guy. He shot a guy for stealing his cow." And he said, "You better go tell your daddy to pay us the money." And I went back to Dad. I said, "Yeah, you're going to have to pay me $750 right now."
Yeah. If nothing else.
Nothing else. And sure enough, that's what he paid. He said, "Well, you go pay him off and, you know, kick rocks." I was like,
"And you're still getting nothing."
And nothing. And that's, you know, his dad did him that way. And he did me the same, and you know.
All right, so I got to follow up here. Yeah. So what was it? The wash and gas. Gas and wash. Yeah. Now, where was it located?
It was on Broadway.
Okay, where would that be?
And
today?
It's like Cubano's for car sales.
Okay.
Currently, like if you see it, you can see the tunnel.
Yeah, yeah.
You can see the door.
Yeah.
Like I've actually been like, "Hey, Dad, let's go in there and look at it." He's like, "I'm not going over there." I'm like, "It'd be cool." He's like, "No, I'm not doing that."
All right,
the red carpet on the
bypass.
Yeah, that. So, Pops,
who built that one?
That was another company that built it, and I don't know. We went back on the deeds. It was kind of interesting. It's like a name that's Beck, and I think it was like Magic Tunnel or something. But Pops did so well; he was so good. They were from out of town, and they just didn't do well. Mm-hmm. And so they contacted him and said, "Hey, could you take it over?" And, you know, Gas and Wash was an express exterior only.
Right.
Red Carpet is what he named it, and it was a full service. So they didn't really compete. You know, they're kind of different models.
Yeah.
And did well there. And the Fields family, all the 8 kids, they grew up there washing cars, you know, and it was a family business and, you know. So
which one had the sign with the octopus?
That was Red Carpet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the one I remember when I first moved to town. That was like the only one.
And it was one of those like classic signs. Like they don't make the signs like that anymore. Yeah. Yeah. We've got a photograph, fortunately. Like, you know, it's the old sign. It was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's quite a story. I mean, the history of your family and the dry cleaning business and the gas and wash or washing gas and then the Red Carpet and then Tender Touch, which your dad, I think a lot of people probably still remember Tender Touch. And then you know, you've kept things going along throughout the years. And I remember when you were out there next to Hobby Lobby, I used to come out and see you.
Mm-hmm.
And you just a young guy out there, I mean, sweating and hustling and
Man.
Cleaning cars. And, you know, that's hard work.
It was hard. It was hard. It still is. Yeah, so, we do a little bit of it still.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's detailing. I mean, it's just – it's hard to – you just, no one has scaled a detailing operation, right?
Yeah.
So
right. So the first Cheetah Clean, was it in Owensboro?
The first one was in 07.
Mm-hmm.
And so 08 happened, and that was another thing. Yeah. I was like, hey, I'm going back to Bowling Green. 08 happened. She was like, everybody was freaking out, right?
Yeah.
And so that was also, you know, a little bit of a struggle to kind of, you know, banking was, you know, dried up. But
yeah.
Ended up, what was funny is, you know, I didn't have a great contract. And so
it's almost 20 years ago now.
It's almost 20 years ago. I didn't have a good contract. Laid up and feeling sorry for myself. You know, they kind of kicked me out. They were majority owners. And laid up feeling sorry for myself. And dad come over one day. You know, because Cheetah Clean, like the theme was like it was the vision, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, when Waterworks, you know, shout out to Robert Hazel and those guys. You know, when
Hazel Realtor now.
That's right. When he opened, you know, they did a good job.
Yeah.
They did a high-quality job. People, it was funny when we opened, you know, they would bring a car over and be like, Jeff, come out here and look at this. And dad would get me and say, come on, let's go look. And they'd be like, look at this sorry job. And dad and I would be like, actually, it's pretty good. Like,
yeah.
We can't do any better than that. And so, but we, you know, Bowling Green people are weird. You know, they just do back and
Everybody's
forth.
Looking for something.
And
they're
trying to play egos, you know, Richard and, you know, or Robert and dad and all that. And so, but, you know, I said, you know, but we do have an edge. And, you know, our edge was dad was efficient, like, and was like, we'd stopwatch. Like, as soon as the car hit the lot, it better be out of here in 15 minutes. And
yeah.
So, like, everybody as a car pulls up, you're out. And if you're not out and dad or one of the managers see it, I mean, we were it was a machine, you know, and we you know, there could be a line to the end of the road and you would be in and out of there in 20 minutes.
That's awesome.
And Waterworks and Robert, they did a good job, but people were sitting there for 30, 45, maybe an hour.
Yeah.
You know? And so and that's where Cheetah came from. It's like I was like, we're faster than them. We're faster. I was fast. That was the
Cheetah.
It was the fastest thing I could think of, you know, and I was like, I like that name. So
and
we just
that's
went
how
with
you
it.
Come up with some of your packages, the Gazelle,
right?
The Impala.
Oh, went all in.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
So. All right. So how many locations do you have now?
We've got 16 open today. Mm-hmm. We've got a few more under contract. Back in 2020, I had six. Had an unfortunate incident happen.
Mm-hmm.
Had to sell a couple. To kind of recap and get. Reposition,
right.
But then really that's what, you know, oddly enough, gave birth to the flagship, which is the Double Tunnel.
Yeah.
And got us back to full service car washing, which is what I really loved, because Express Exterior, there's no customer interaction.
Yeah.
You know, and I wanted to bring like a hospitality feel to the car wash. And so you know, those bad events, you know, that's what kind of blossomed out of that.
Yeah.
And
when you're talking about the Double Tunnel, you're talking about Cave Mill Road in Bowling Green, where
right.
You have the you can go through and get your car washed and you keep going if you want, or you
yep.
can come around and get the a full service cleaning job on the
right.
inside.
Most modern car wash within a 250-mile radius.
Yeah.
I had been to Europe, and I love going to Europe or touring internationally and looking at innovation. And, you know, just really studying the craft, you know, and that was the other thing with my family is like, even like the dry cleaning and the laundry, like our family was known for like just being able to get a stain out that no one else could. And, you know, dad, like he could fabricate and build stuff that doesn't break. And, you know, and it's like just how we treat everything. It's like a craftsman, a trade, you know, like
innovative,
just going deep, you know,
yeah.
and trying to refine what we do.
So how many locations are in the Bowling Green area?
Now we call South Central Kentucky, including Glasgow, eight.
Eight.
Which is pretty insane.
And you have a couple in Owensboro?
We have three now in Owensboro.
Shepherdsville?
One, yep. Big one in Shepherdsville.
So, right, you've got I-65 covered across Kentucky.
We do have I-65, yeah. I mean, we haven't gone into Louisville yet, but, you know, that's always on the
yeah.
radar.
So. How many employees do you have now?
Over 200 now.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a heck of a Christmas party.
It is, man. It's gotten so big that we do them in their markets. Like, we just let them have their own little parties. But, yeah, it's a lot. You know, it's a lot to keep up with. It's a lot of work. It keeps me going. Keeps me focused on, you know, healthy things, growing the business. So, it's good.
I I've been collaborating some over the last few years, and I've watched you grow this business, mm-hmm. and you brought in some equity partners, some private equity partners years ago. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So, you know, early on, I guess it was 2007, 2008, and then 2013, my dad, he got me up out of bed. I went and worked for a guy down in Nashville, mm-hmm. Eric Lohman, Wash Me Express. And I worked there with him for probably 2 or 3 years doing consulting. And then I got bought out of the deal. And then I had enough money to buy the old red carpet, which mm-hmm. is kind of weird. You know, it was like hollow ground.
Right, full circle.
Full circle, man. And, you know, it was funny. Eric and I were negotiating, you know, and he was like.
But before you go too far.
Yeah.
So right next to that car wash is a laundromat.
Right.
Did your grandfather start that?
No. Okay. He didn't start that one. But it ended up kind of coming in play because we moved the entrance or whatever. But, you know, that was 2013, 14, I think we bought Veterans. And then, you know, after all of that, Dad and Mary Alice got involved from an investment perspective. They helped me buy Veterans. And then I built Franklin. And then I did Radcliffe. And then ended up buying Owensboro back in like 2019, and then 2020 happened, and sold those two. And then, you know, Dad and I, you know, never had capital, but when I sold those two, I sold my two best stores, and these things were selling for, you know, a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Never had any money, like literally was making payroll can we make payroll?
Yeah.
Like, and investing anything left over into improving, you know, and then trying to get a loan and lever, you know, and, improve. And so, that incident happened, you know, I think everybody kind of wrote me off. And then, interestingly enough, you know, Rob Porter had been helping me. Probably Rob Porter kind of came on the scene helping me like in 14, 15, you know, and I saw him, he had a Rand Paul sticker. And I was a big Ron Paul fan.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, man. And so ended up, Rob and I became good friends.
Right.
And Rob helped me from the investment banking, like how to grow your business. And Dad, we got to the point where I was like, hey, man, what about franchising? Hey, what about sell leaseback? Hey, what about all the? He was like, son, quit calling me about all this crazy, you know, idea about how to grow car washes, man.
Right.
You know, he was like, just, you know, let's talk about something else. And so, but Rob ended up taking those calls, and he spent thousands of hours with me going, traveling, trade shows, talking to investors. And we had been all around the, you know, world, literally New York, Chicago, LA, Miami, trying to figure out how do we partner. And then, sure enough, after that deal, again, even myself was like, man, how do I grow? And then a local company out of Louisville, Jonathan Blue and Edward Harrison, Edward reached out to me on LinkedIn and said, you know, hey, we're looking at the space. We've identified you as one of the top operators. We want to help you. And like, I called Rob. I was like, there's somebody here in Kentucky that wants to do this. And we were like, wow, this is cool. You know? And I was like, and it just was kind of a match made in heaven. I mean, I think we had our first call, and then like 6 months later, I think we closed our deal. And it was a minority investment for the company. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's always been big for me. You hear, you know, all the horror stories about private equity and this, that, and the other. And, you know, I kind of was aware of that and wanted to stay in creative control. But Jonathan and Edward, they've been great. They got in as we were finishing Cave Mill, we were launching. We did the Corvette giveaway, and he was like, what is this?
Yeah.
You know? And it was like, it was a celebration of Bowling Green, you know, like, hey, cave mill. It was significant, right? Like car wash wise. So we did that, and Jonathan, they were so cool about it. They did another one. They were like, yeah, let's do another Corvette. We liked it. And then we figured out how to partner with the university and still do it. And so we got creative. But those guys have been great to deal with. They brought, you know, deal sophistication, back office, obviously capital, partnership, strategic, you know, board. They're on the board. Strategy, connection. I mean, met with the governor, you know, just been great. And so we went from 5 to 16 in a little over 3 years.
Yeah.
And got real strategic in Bowling Green. Obviously bought out Robert. We bought out
Waterworks.
Richard. Yeah. Waterworks. Which Waterworks was real strategic for us because Robert was, he was fending us off, you know, on the full service. He had two full services. So buying that business, and then the crown jewel of that company was the Glasgow store, which is in our top two or three stores up there with Shepherdsville. And so like Bowling Green, we looked and, you know, it's like, hey, we got, you know, 8 car washes, you know, and then we had the Zips failure, you know,
talk a little bit about that transition too with Zip.
Yeah, so Zips went bankrupt, which, you know, a lot of these companies, car wash companies, what they've done 4 or 5 years ago is a lot of these things were trading at like 20 times four-wall EBITDA, which is insane on valuation. But and then they were getting all this money, and they were just doing growth, 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 and they weren't supporting operations. They weren't supporting the personnel, the training, the development, you know, and their same store growth kind of collapsed in on itself. But it worked out good for us in the sense that, you know, these Zips became available, and the owners, the property owners, Getty Real Estate out of New York, they contacted us and they were like, hey, would you be interested in this? We really want you guys to do it, you know, because no one else would probably dare to come into the market at that point. And, you know, we thought about it. We were like, nah, we're good. And then I started sleeping on it. And I was like, I just started getting creative. And I was like, man, we got to do that. We've got, because they had wrote the rent, the deal off, essentially.
Yeah.
Like the reduce, it was such a low rent rate that I was like, and so I went to the board. I was like, guys, what if we did a discount car wash? And it was part of our ecosystem. And we could serve the community and then also try to get them into the full service or our detailing operation. So that's kind of where the Cub came from. You know, Cheetah's a high touch, high prep. I mean, if you go to Cave Mill, you'll see 10 people on just the exterior side some days, which people are like, what are you doing? I'm like, hey, we put out a great car, you know, and there's no one in the industry that really does that. Most of these car washes, they put 3 or 4 people in, whether they're washing 20 or 150 cars, there's 4 people. Yeah. And what we do is we scale it. So the more cars we wash, we put more staff. So you get more touch points and, you know, customer service and in the prep process, a cleaner car. So the Cub is, $12.99, $24.99, a little less than Cheetah. Cheetah's $18, $12.99. It's the, it's a really great car wash, though. It has a lot of great equipment. We went in there, we redid everything. Dad and Russ and our team went in there and revamped it. And it's a, you know, it's a great location. It's right in the middle, right next to Chick-fil-A. You know, and it's actually, it's being well received right now. So, we're excited about that. We did launch the other one in Owensboro. And you know, in times like this right now, it seems like consumer is a little busted up. So we feel like it's going to be a hit.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
That's great news. And of course, you know, and if you're a member of Cheetah Clean, you can use Cub.
That's right. Yeah.
So, but not the other way around.
Well, the base Cub can wash unlimited there.
Okay.
The second and third tier there can have full Cheetah Recip. And like right now we have a Founders Club that you can go in, you can pay $29 and you get the best Cub, which is basically the third tier at the Cheetah, and you get full Cheetah Recip. So it's a really good deal right now. We're going to do like the first 1,000 to buy. Yeah, I mean, we're giving a great value to the community, and then we come in and we may even make some of our other stores into a Cub because we feel like Cheetah, you know, it's such a premium offering. Yeah. I don't know if you really need 8 of them. Right? Yeah. So yeah. Maybe there's a 4-4 mix.
Yeah, I got
coming down the pike. So yeah,
so and you just come in, you get a quick wash, and then head on out.
It's quick, and there's no prep. We just load it.
Yeah.
We have an attendant out there to help you get through the gates, and then you know, it arguably technically might be faster than the cheetah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So, yeah. You know, man, give it a shot.
It's still under 15 minutes.
Oh, it's that one's under 3 minutes. Yeah. So,
and not only that, I mean, you got a great business here. You 16 locations, but you're also giving back to the community, which is important as well. I know you just recently had the Corvette giveaway at the last WKU home game, but you've also, you know, been supporting other entities as well, like LifeWorks, and you know, you're help sponsoring our Jingle Bell Run and things like that. So talk about why that's important as well, to give back to your community.
Yeah, I think you know, businesses today get a lot of heat, you know, and there's, you know, the issues with society and everything going on out there, you know, the adversity and the disparity between, you know, the haves and have nots. So like what I feel my obligation is that, you know, as the community supports the business, it's the least we can do is to support the nonprofits. Mm-hmm. And what we do, you know, Bowling Green's always been obviously a big place for us. But as we go into other communities, we kind of, my daughter, Kaylee, she'll go online and we try to find, you know, somebody that really is having a great impact, kind of like the similar to what we feel like when we, you know, come to car washing. We want to find a community partner that really drives the needle.
Yeah.
And does really great work and has, you know, maximum leverage on what they're doing. And we've been fortunate. And, you know, Owensboro, we partnered with, you know, Puzzle Pieces, Amanda over there. I mean, tremendous organization. Gallatin, Shalom Zone. And then over in Broadway, we partner with Humane Society, Nashville. We partner with Diego Pavia doing a food drive. It's like, you know, my partners are like, man, when's enough? You know,
Diego's the
quarterback for Vandy. Yeah.
Which is having a pretty good year.
He's having a great year, man. Yeah. And I love his story. Like, he came from nowhere. He, you know, a lot of people wrote him off. And, you know, he finds a way to win,
yeah.
Which I just.
Sounds like somebody I know.
That's right, man. I mean, just never give up, man. Yeah. That's the key.
That's awesome.
Well, yeah.
We appreciate all you do. And what's the future hold for Cheetah Clean?
You know, back in, I guess, was it 2010, I said I was going to get to 50 units.
Mm-hmm.
I'm figuring out that that's a whole lot harder than I thought. But, you know. I'm still.
I know, you went from like, you're at 16.
I know.
In like just 3 years.
I can. We can get there. Yeah. You know, we can. And you know, the great thing about the model is it's unique and it's special. And you know, I'm obsessed. And I've got some teammates that are obsessed with it as well. And you know, my goal. I mean, can we add 3 to 5 units every year and get there? Absolutely. It may take us 5 to 10 years, but we're committed to that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a healthy growth rate. But you know, I'm also talking to different people, every week, you know, that could come in and put, you know, much more significant horsepower behind us. And, you know, the way to do that though, is no matter how much capital you have to strategically build the team.
Yeah.
You know, it can't be just me, and a few others. It's gotta be 10 or 20, you know, people, and making that people investment, because that's everything, you know. 5, 15, you know, one person, 2, 3 people can get there, but going to 50, you got to have some real talent and dedication behind you. And I think that's the future for Cheetah. Can we get the right people on the bus and get the right capitalization, stay in creative control? I don't mind about minority majority. I'd like to do a Mark Zuckerberg deal where you sell out, and but you still got the super vote.
Right.
So, you know, those types of things, when you talk about, you know, private equity and, you know, founders and all this and that, is that's my goal, is to try to figure out, can I continue to grow this thing and share, you know, with the private equity companies that are out there, but still keep Cheetah, you know, what it is, it keep its soul intact and trying to build, you know, an enduring company that not only services the community, but also can continue to give back, not only to our customers, but to our associates as well.
I think you'll figure it out.
I hope so, man. Hey, it's been helpful. You've helped a lot, too. So
thank you.
Yeah, appreciate
your
partnership.
Thanks for letting us be a small part of it and down the road some. Yep. Hey, Jeff Fields, thanks for being on the DeCesare Group podcast.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate you.
Thanks again to Cheetah Clean Auto Wash founder and CEO Jeff Fields for being my guest today on the DeCesare Group podcast. If you like what you hear, please share with a friend and don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Leave us a review and share your feedback with us as well. You can also follow the DeCesare Group across all of our social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, X, and YouTube. And you can subscribe to our weekly newsletter, Soakey Economic Development and Business News, by going to our website, thedecesaregroup.com. The DeCesare Group podcast is produced by the DeCesare Group, a public relations and consulting firm based in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Our engineer and Cheetah Clean Car Wash member is Justin DeCesare, with content contributions from Brooke Mattingly. The DeCesare Group podcast is researched by Amy DeCesare. I'm Jim DeCesare, inviting you to join us again next time for the DeCesare Group podcast.